for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 27th, 2002, final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the morning.
You'll stand with me in prayer. Oh, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we just ask you to pour out your spirit now. Pour out your spirit, Lord. We thank you and we praise and we bless you and we glorify you. We give you thanks, Lord. Pour your spirit out now, wisdom and knowledge, Lord. Open our hearts that we might hear your spirit, Lord God. To go down into our heart, Lord, and bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. Lord, the evil one comes and steals when there's no understanding. So I ask you to enlighten our understanding, Lord, so that the enemy can't steal the word. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Man has a natural instinct of curiosity. He is instinctively curious. This was one of the things that led to the fall, the instinct to know. So spiritual knowledge is given on a need-to-know basis. God will give you the knowledge that you need. And when you're ministering, he will give you supernatural knowledge that you need to know to minister. But that you don't need to minister, he won't. The knowledge that you don't need, he won't give it to you. I was once associated with a gentleman who was taken into court. And to all external appearances, he was a Christian who walked with Jesus. He was a Christian. He came to church. He read the Word. God had opened the Word to him. He had a measure of God's peace. He had some problems. But to look at him and talk to him, he was an exemplary Christian. And he was accused of a sin by a family member. And I had difficulty believing. And I was praying that, you know, God would protect him and that the truth would come out and that that he would be exonerated. And I was in the prayer room one day and I was just saying, God, you show me what happened. And I was praying in the Spirit and I asked God, just show me, Lord. I want to know what happened. I just want to know what happened. And I had an open vision. And that rascal was guilty. I mean, I saw it. I didn't go to the trial. I just saw it there. That it was all reenacted just like I was watching a movie right there in the room, you know. And I was just startled. And that was the day of the trial. And after I came out of the prayer room, the pastor came back in and told me he'd just come from the trial. And this girl had been on the stand. And so he told me her testimony. And there it was again. And I said, but after I got through with the vision, I said, Lord, is that really true? He said, yes, it's true. Now, you seal it up, and you can never tell it. And I said, well, why? Why did you show me? He says, because you asked. You didn't need to know. But you asked, and I honored it. Now, you seal it up. And then the pastor comes in, he tells me, and he verifies everything that's been in this. Some few years later, I asked God, I said, God, can I use this as a teaching device if I get away from him where people won't know who I'm talking about? He said, yeah. And I cured that thing all those years. And every time I look at that man, he was declared not guilty. And they put pressure on this girl and she recanted a testimony. Disaster fell on the household. I mean, absolute disaster fell on the household. Destroyed it. And destroyed everybody, including him, associated with it. Everybody. It was just horrible. But God said, if you don't need to know, don't ask. It taught me that I shouldn't be innately curious about things that are none of my business. That's God's business, wasn't mine. There was no way. I was not involved in a ministerial capacity with that situation. Nobody had come to me and asked for prayer. Nobody had. I'd heard numerous times the story from him as he, wanted somebody to support him, but never once did he ask me to pray for him. And I learned something there. I learned two things. Number one, when I know something, I don't ask when I don't need to know for ministerial purposes. And number two, sometimes God will reveal things to me, and nobody will ask me for prayer. When I was first starting in the ministry, we were at the kitchen table in this lady's house having a prayer group, and we just started praying for deliverance, and I looked at this young lady who was there with us, who joined the prayer group, and I could see this spirit of heaviness just settling on her. And I went down and told her what I saw, thinking I could pray for her. And man, I tell you, I had a tiger by the tail. She didn't want anybody praying for her, and she wanted her sins exposed before the whole group. And she went to the pastor, and she complained to the pastor that she had was just getting over this, and here now she's back in the depths of depression again because I had exposed her to the world. So rule number two. I don't pray for folks that don't ask me to pray for them. And rule number three, I don't go pray for people because a friend wants me to go pray for them. Johnny is real sick. Wants you to go pray for her. Did she ask for me to come pray for her? No, she did not. She got the elders coming over to know it all. That's fine. And she didn't ask for me. I don't go. But, oh Lord, I don't pray for people that don't sin for me. It says sin for the elders. It don't say the elders are out with a butterfly net trying to catch sick folks to pray for them. And all of this today, I want to talk to you about magic again. We said that magic was divided into three parts. Witchcraft, which by definition is contract with evil spirits, done mostly through curses, can be done through charms and potions. But mostly sorcery is done with drugs and music. The old-fashioned sorcerers used a lot of atropine, morphine, and poisons. Modern sorcery, as Brother Henry said, the word pharmacy. Sorcery means pharmacy. And he talked about modern sorcerers. You've got no idea. I don't want to get into it. Just fortunately, I'm in a business where you don't see that sort of thing. I watch children grow up. And until about 10 years ago, we very seldom used any type of mood-changing drugs in children. There is a culture growing up now in which they feel every child should be on something. And if the child has any type of discipline problem, the answer is to put them on some type of mood-changing drugs. And the tremendous pressure comes from the school system. It all relates back to the breakdown of the family. the family no longer supports the schools.
Now, I am public health officer in Kansas, and we have a program called the Healthy Start Program. And we have programs in which we're trying to keep families together. And we have tremendous number of families without fathers, huge numbers of them. And you know, it is almost impossible for a single woman who does not have a professional degree to support her family without help. She has to have help with a car, she has to help with a house, and she's got to have help with medical problems. I mean, and consequently, she is generally pushed into some sort of relationship with a man who will help pay her bills. And that is terrible. It's terrible. The church is missing the boat. She goes to the church for help and they make her feel like a beggar. I get upset when I start talking about it. They make her feel like a beggar. And they might help her once. If she goes back again, I mean, she's worse than a beggar. And so, she goes, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, I just... Okay. I need to get off of that and get on to this. But the breakup of the family is contributing to the rise in the disease because nobody feels loved. There is a hole in your heart. God created you with a hole in your inner being that could be filled with only one thing. That's His love. His love. And when Eve fell, she lost that communication. Adam and Eve felt they lost. And that was filled with self-fulfillment. Self came in. Death and sin. Sin came in. Death came in through sin. And self-fulfillment, selfish desires. You became bonded and welded to your selfish desires. And sin will keep you welded and keep your eyes focused on yourself, trying, and it never will fill that hole. And if you have a family that is in the husband and wife are in relationship together, and God's love is flowing into them, then it can flow out to the family. And then you've got peace and security. If you don't have a husband, then you can have a covering. God will appoint a covering. The covering is supposed to be His body. That's what do you think He says? That pure religion is to look after widows and orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. I pray for people to receive God's love. And I wept before God and I said, God, why is it I can't get them to receive God's love? Why is it they just can't receive it? And He said, 1 John 2:19, 2:15, He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if you love the world and things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. He who loves the world is an enemy of God. And so you've got to get your eyes off the world and get your eyes on God. And know that He will meet your needs. But the church has been perverted. Now they say a sign of God's love is to have a big house and 2 Cadillacs and $1 million. That's a sign of God's love. And if you don't have that, God don't love you. Y'all don't watch television like y'all don't watch that religious television. And none of y'all have ever seen that on television. I mean, I don't own a television set. Some people say, oh, do you watch such a... Man, I don't even own a television set, much less watch that garbage. Because, and so, You have to let God's... Most people work out of rejection. Their heritage. They work in trying to earn love. And they're competing against themselves. Why do you think so many athletes, you look at the star athletes, millions of dollars, looked up to, but their lives are empty. They are filled with a succession of drug abuse, sexual abuse, broken, just, and they wind up broken-hearted old men on dope, living in a chemical world. Why? Because they compete out of rejection. God doesn't fill their heart, and they're always competing against themselves, and they can't ever be good enough. Why do you think Hollywood is so full of people that are so unhappy, that are all on drugs and in perversion? Because they hate themselves. They don't like who they are. They want to be somebody else. And so they go into movies. They go into the theater. You know what who was the Russian actor, acting school? And the name starts with Z about this long. But what it teaches you is, it teaches you to become the person that you're portraying. John Wayne, that we see on the screen, was not the real John Wayne. That was his alter image. That was what he wanted to be. But he could never be that. Only on the silver screen could he be that. That's the reason he went, his life was a failure, filled with frustration. He was a kind man. I had a child dying of leukemia. And he wanted to meet John Wayne. And so this ministry that said, what's the name of it? Impossible Wish, a Hope Wish, a Last Wish?
Make a Wish.
They took him out, and John opened his house and took him out and showed him his home and took him out on his farm and entertained that kid for a week. They came back with this glowing picture. But that's what John wanted to be, but that wasn't what John really was. That was his alter ego. That wasn't John. Inside was a hollow self. He hated himself, maintained on chemicals, and so forth. That's sad. I mean, I love John Wayne. You know, I got his picture on my desk. That one. Big Duke. I always liked the Big Duke, you know. But that wasn't the real John Wayne. I always liked the Duke because I could watch his movies and knew I wasn't going to see anything that was going to embarrass me.
I was in the Army in Fort Benning, Georgia in 1967, and John Wayne came there and made the movie called The Green Berets.
Yes.
And I was sitting in the chair next to him when they made us up. I played a Vietnamese soldier. I was over in the next chair there to make up, and we put the makeup on.
Yeah. Oh, Big John. Oh, one of my best friends was at the ATO, I think it was, house at Lawrence when he made the movie Lawrence. That was one of his first movies. And he was impressed how really big John Wayne was. He said John Wayne was a huge man. But those people are unhappy with who they are. They've been rejected. They hate each other. They hate themselves. And they want to be somebody else. And the only thing that will restore them is God's love. Now today, I don't know. You know, people, I guess what I want to say to you is, you want to get well? Throw the hate out. Throw out that self-hate. And say, God, I love you and I thank you that you made me like I am. That you love me, that you've accepted me. And let God's love flow through you and come out of the world. And the peace of God. But you got to love yourself. You got to love the fact that God made you and that you're a child of the living God. Now, there's a boy in there you can't get proud.
devil will love to make you proud.
Let's move on. Let's look at the... If you read the pulp magazines, you'll find ads offering memberships and organizations that will give you knowledge and power. There are all kind of organizations that will give you, if you'll write in, they will and pay the initiation fee and come into their organization. They will give you the hidden knowledge that's been hidden by the rich folks all these years to keep you poor. And they're going to let you in on it. Like the Rosicrucians and a half a dozen other organizations. These are all occultic organizations. And when you accept that literature and start doing what they tell you to, you will receive into you a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit. And you will come into bondage. The use of familiar spirits to obtain knowledge and to bend other people to your will or control bent is the basis of the occult. Now, what is a familiar spirit? I talked about familiar spirits yesterday. A familiar spirit is a spirit that you're familiar with through which you can manifest supernatural power. And it will imitate, for Christians, it will imitate the Holy Spirit. I gave you principles on how to differentiate between the good and the evil, the black and the white, the good and the bad, the bitter and the sweet. And you need to look and see, does it magnify the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it edify, exhort, and comfort people? Does it magnify the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it lead you to freedom? Does it lead people around you to freedom? Or does it lead them into bondage? Or does it lead them into confusion? For God is not the author of confusion. And these are all tests that you should look at when you receive a word of knowledge. I've told you that any time you hear an audible voice, any time you hear something speak to you, an audible voice, you challenge it. And God has given you a mechanism to challenge it. It is very simple. You say, acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. Now, if they say, yes, that's not good enough, you say, no. You say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. Amen. They can't say that. Now, they will say Jesus Christ, the Son of the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, came to the world a sinless life, was crucified on the cross for my sins, was raised from the dead, and is up in heaven, and is my Lord. That sounds all real good. That's the foundation of the gospel. The one thing they did not say, Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh. Now, you get a religious spirit. They can quote the Bible, and they can quote doctrine to you. They can get up and preach a good sermon. But they will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ came and walked the earth as a man. Why? Because God said they can't. And always remember who is the final authority, who is the boss. He is the boss. The devil is not the boss. The devil is absolutely subject to him. The devil can't do anything without his permission. Absolutely. Now, God has set up certain spiritual laws. You violate those laws, there's a penalty. The devil will has... Henry said, you get the blessings of the devil.
For those that have Freemasonry in your family tree, Morals and Dogmas of Freemasonry, Albert Pike, page 578, Prince of Mercy degree, it says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, but he only took on the appearance of flesh to accommodate himself to the language of the Jews. And that's right in there.
Huh? Right. I told you all that I was initiated into the Blue Lodge. I did this to satisfy my father when I was unsaved. I remember some of the oaths
but the one I quoted to you yesterday, in which you promised that if you see another Mason breaking the law, you will not report it. Murder and treason accepted, and those at your discretion. He says, if you see another Mason murder somebody, you don't have to testify against him. You promise that you won't. But you're going to think you can at your discretion, you can't testify about murder or treason. But stealing and robbing and so forth, you can't testify. You promised if you do, you're going to tear your tongue out by the roots, and they're going to slit your stomach open and burn your bowels up, and I can't remember the rest of it. I mean, it's just, and bury you a toe length off the shore in the middle of the ocean and all sorts of things. And I rejected those horrible curses, and I broke my oath when I got out. And I broke the curse of masonry over my children. My wife's father was a shriner. And he had a Knights Templar sword that was jeweled, and he gave it to my son. And when my son got deliverance, he had to go home and get that sword and get rid of it. And so he went home, and my wife and I were separated. And all the stuff was out in this un-air-conditioned garage. He said he got out there, and he worked for an hour, and he couldn't find it, and he got frustrated. And he said he went upstairs, and he lay down. And he said, he felt something tell him, oh, it's all right, just go lay down. It's hot in here, you can do it some other time. And he got up there, and he got up and lay down in bed, and he said the demon came and attacked him in bed. And it was all he could do to get out of the bed. And he bound it, and he managed, he said, he crawled back out to that garage, and he didn't stop until he found it. And he took it out in the boat in the middle of the lake where the water was 200 feet deep. And he had it wrapped up in this burlap sack with a bunch of rocks, and he dropped it. And he said he didn't know how to burn it, how else to get rid of it. So he, you know, when we sold all our Indian, when we burned all of our Indian paraphernalia, my son was initiated into the Order of the Arrow, and he was in the vigil. And in the vigil, you keep the vigil. They take you out, and you build this campfire, and you sit there by the campfire keeping the vigil, and supposedly these other scouts will sneak up behind you and give you wisdom, you know, and they're supposed to be the spirit. But I actually said something else happened out there, so he didn't know what it was. But when we burned all that stuff, I'll always remember. We were sitting, you know, and I had the fire going outside, and we were getting ready to go take the stuff out, and I heard this war drum, boom, 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 and I heard it. I said, "You hear that drum?" He said, "No." "Do you hear those shouts?" I said, "No." And so then I heard both of them, and so did he, and it sounded like they were having a war dance. I said, "I went and looked out at the fire. I thought expected to see Indians dancing around it." I said, "Come on, let's put this stuff in. Let's get it in the fire." And so we gathered all the stuff up and dumped it in, and that's when the flame shot up about 30 feet, and the lady next door knocked on me and says, "Dr. Null," says, "all right, I'm about ready to call the fire department." I said, no, "we just having a little cookout here. We just cooking a little stuff." And those things danced, and you could hear them gradually stop as that stuff burned up. Now that's scary. Those are familiar spirits that come from divination. Now, an Indian child, when he went through the circumcision rite or through the puberty rite, now some tribes circumcised and some children didn't. Some of them didn't at puberty. But when they went through their puberty rite, they would gather, and these kids would go out into the prairie, and they would stand out there on a rock for 3 days without eating or drinking anything. They would fast for 3 days, no food, no water, and stand in the sun. And when they got so weak they couldn't stand up, they'd take a piece of flint and cut on either side of their breast and stick a stick through there and tie a leather thong to it and hang themselves up on a pole. And they would hang there and plead with the gods to come and have mercy on them. And eventually, a familiar spirit that is assigned to that particular tribe's family would come down and speak to this Indian, this child, and would possess him. If he was a hunter family, then it would be a hunting spirit who would tell him where the buffalo were. If it was a warrior spirit, it would give him bravery, make him brave so that he could go in and count coup. Y'all know what count coup means? Oh, that's you ride your horse. See, he's got a tomahawk. You ride your horse up and you got this little stick and you touch his forehead and ride off, see? The great thing was to be able to ride in and touch your enemy, not stand way off and shoot him with a gun, but to get right up in his face and touch him. Or else just take a knife and just nick his face a little bit so he'd have a scar there, and that was the coup mark. That was bravery. That's the reason the white men could defeat them, so the Indians would ride around and come in to cut him with a stick, and they shooting them with guns. And of course, they killed the buffalo and they starved to death. The Choctaws, my people, never went to war against the United States. Never bore arms. They supplied logistic support for Andrew Jackson when he fought the Creeks and the Cherokees. He would not have defeated them without the help from the Choctaw Nation. They sent 3,000 troops with him, braves with him to New Orleans. And he paid them back with the Treaty of Dancing Rabbit Creek, in which he appropriated the whole state of Mississippi and sent them on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma, in which 2/3 of them died on the way. Those who stayed, my family stayed in Mississippi. They sent down a land agent to register them. It would not register any male Indians. Only female Indians married to white men. And since the land rights went with the women, great number of white men married Indian women. And racial and Indians were reduced to serfs and slaves. This spirit would come in and possess this child and be with him. Now, the way the Indians drew their strength when they captured an enemy was to make him yell. And the more he screamed, the more power they could draw into themselves. You see, he first shamed himself if he screamed. Then he shamed his family, then his tribe, then his nation. Well, you could skin an Indian alive and he wouldn't open his mouth. He's demon possessed. And they would put out enough demon possessed people don't feel pain. I mean, they cannot feel pain. The Hindu yoga will put out natural alkaline or morphine like compounds that will stop you from feeling pain. The Hindu medicine man that I saw when I was trying to learn transmedulation could cut himself and stick brands in his scalp and it wouldn't burn him. The Indian can walk across hot coals with his bare feet. Firewalking demons. Those are all familiar spirits that can come into you and give me so that you can manifest supernatural power. I got a piece out of the Wall Street Journal, a man who was, they were having a class, teach people how to walk on charcoal up in Washington, D.C.
They did it right here in Hot Springs.
And what they do is they pick up a Hindu firewalking god, demon. But these are all, and so these Indians, but they catch a white man, they shame everybody in the nation as they skin him, but he holler like crazy. The modern Satanists can do the same thing. They will torture you, and the more they can make you scream, the more power they feel they draw out of you. And they'll get you under the old pass, hang you upside down, skin you alive if they feel like it. Makes enough noise as you. Cars, all the traffic going up, nobody can hear you scream. And all the hobos under there, they get out of the way. They don't want to lose those people because they know they'll skin them too. Gene and Earlene Mooley tell the time that they won to Christ the high priest and priestess of a covenant in Shreveport. And they were carrying them through deliverance. They captured the young man, and they hung him alive. They hung him upside down on one of the main overpasses in Shreveport and skinned him alive. The young lady went back into the covenant. Those are familiar spirits. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18. I can sit here and talk about experience all day, but it's not really good to try to teach out of experience without the Bible. In Deuteronomy 18, you'll see the most sweeping statement saying that you should stay away from the occult. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, soothsayer, interprets omens, or sorcerer." Now, a person who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, that is the modern equivalent of that is an abortion. The Moloch, Baal, and Shamush required that you sacrifice your firstborn child. They did it differently. Baal, you carried it up there, and they put it on a stone, and they pierced it with a little dagger and let the blood drain out. Okay. Shamush, was a big cast iron statue that had hands out like this, and the fire was in that, and they actually put the child on the hands, and he just sort of roasted. Malush, they had a big hole they dropped him in, and they beat the kettle drums real loud so you couldn't hear the child scream, according to the records. But you actually sacrificed your firstborn child. This was further perfected by the Phoenicians with Tacai, who is one of the Jezebel spirits. And they sacrificed teenagers. The battle-hardened Roman soldiers. Pliny records in history that the battle-hardened Roman soldiers, when they captured Corinth, which was a great Phoenician city where Tacai was the god, wept at the size of the graveyards that contained the bones of the children sacrificed to the gods. Each grave contained 10 or 15 kids' bones. They actually wept, and there's still 40 acres of those graveyards are still there today. And they sacked the city, killed everybody in it, and plowed salt into the ground so nothing would ever grow there again. But it was the battle. Those men who were hardened soldiers, professional soldiers, who killing was their business, wept when they saw how many teenagers that they had killed and burned. And that's Tacai. That's a ruthless Jezebel spirit. Ruthless. If y'all are really interested in Jezebel, there's a book back there about Jezebel. The Names of Jezebel. It's a little book, real blue. It tells you about all the different Jezebel goddesses. All the different manifestations. You want to get Jezebel out, you bind every one of them. Break down her kingdom. She has built a kingdom around herself. And she sits and they all hold hands in there. And they don't want to come out. And they are there because of pride. They are Amorite spirits. They lock their hands, they hold hands together, and they are there because of pride and rebellion. Pride feeds rebellion, and rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And that Jezebel wants to control everything. And she's there because of rejection. The lady who wrote the book said her ministry is ministering to against Jezebel, and she said she thinks every woman has a Jezebel, some Jezebel in her, and every man has some Ahab. And when you get a strong Jezebel and a strong Ahab, you got a good combination, because a man will submit to the woman. But you got a strong Jezebel and a weak Ahab, then this man does not wish to submit He has a weak spirit that can't control the other spirits, and so you have conflict in the family. I thought it was an interesting concept. I'd recommend the book to you. Burton. Mitzi's. It's a good book, and it's correct. We've got anyone who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, that's a fortune teller. That's somebody who's got a familiar spirit that'll talk to your familiar spirit, tell you about your past, and will make predictions about your future, and will move in the spirit world to bring them to pass. Nothing in this world happens by accident. There is an invisible world out there that will manipulate circumstances around you. Nothing happens by accident. He doesn't bother me. This baby doesn't bother me at all. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. We speak peace. Peace in the name of Jesus. Peace. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I work with crying babies all day. They never distract me. Never bother me. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for mothers. I thank you, Lord, for women. I thank you for wonderful mothers, Lord, who nurture and care for their children, Lord God. I thank you for them. I just ask you to bless them and strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so let's see what else it says here. Soothsayers, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Now, we talked about sorcerers today. We don't need that one. One who conjures spells. Now, that's a curse caster. Lee, a friend of mine from Minnesota, was a professional curse caster. His father had been a curse caster before him, and his father before him had been a curse caster. This was something they passed down the family line. And if you had a score you wanted to settle, you'd go see him and talk to him, and he didn't charge for it. He did it for his friends and for people, and he would investigate the situation very carefully. He never cast a curse that he wasn't sure there wasn't a ground for it, that this curse had a place to light. For instance, he had a friend of his. The nurse had put the wrong medication in this man's eye after surgery, and he went blind in the eye. So he cursed the nurse. She went blind in both eyes. And he said, you know, he was looking for a place to do his cursing, and outside of Minneapolis, there was an old place, an old run-down building. It had been on the Underground Railroad where all the slaves had stayed. And he said a lot of slaves had died then, and he took his wife out there and said, isn't this the most wonderful place? She said, this is the spookiest place I've ever been in my life. I'll wait in the car. But he said the most wonderful place to cast curses. He'd go in and he'd build him a little altar, and then he would do his thing, and he'd put his candles on it and arrange it, and then he would conjure up his spirits, and then he would pronounce the curse, and he said this black cloud would gather over the altar. And then he would pronounce the curse, and he'd have it all written out, and he got most of his curses out of the Bible. The imprecatory prayers of the Bible. The 109th Psalm was considered to be, 109th Psalm was supposed to be the perfect curse. It covers everything. And so he would pronounce this curse and the cloud would leave. And after he got saved, he said, oh God, help me. But you know, God is so gracious. God is so gracious. You know, he thought he was doing people a favor. He was eating the score. He was a spiritualist. And he kept looking for the spirit of Ben Franklin, because if he thought he could get the spirit of Ben Franklin, he could make a lot of money. And that was his quest, to find the spirit of Ben Franklin who could tell him how to make money. And so the devil accommodated him, and he put everything he owned into something that somebody else had a patent on. And he had to leave town in the middle of the night. Lost everything he owned. Okay, let's go on. That's a curse caster, one who conjures spells. A median, you know what a median is. That's somebody, that's one, somebody lets a familiar spirit come into them. and use their body as spiritualists, or one who calls up the dead. What's a necromancer? One who calls up a praise to the dead. Any of y'all ever pray to dead folks? Huh? I told you I had this medal on my thing, you know, that this dead man was supposed to protect me. And y'all never, you know, y'all ever prayed to the saints to cure you or to help you find something or protect you? A lot of people in this world do. You don't pray to dead people. Remember, there's only one person who's come back from the dead. That is Jesus Christ. He is alive. You pray, you can't pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. But remember, Jesus is the only person that's ever been dead, truly dead, come back with a resurrection body. Some people have been called back from the dead, but they still had a mortal body and they died again. And we have two people who went up to heaven and they were taken, Enoch and Elijah. And that's God's business. He didn't say. God didn't explain that one. All we know is that he took Enoch, just like I told y'all that harlotry and wine and new wine will take your soul. Same word. And Elijah was carried away in a whirlwind. The chariots of fire separated him and Elisha, and the whirlwind picked him up and carried him off. We know he came back and was on the mountain of transfiguration. But that's God's business, you know. God's God. He can do what he wants to. He is not bound. You're bound by this. This is what he says he will do. He says he is not a lie, that a lie is not in him. And so he's given us promises, his word, so he won't lie, so he's bound by this. But it says the secret things are for God alone. But the revealed things, and this is the revealed things, are for us and for our children forever. And let's go on with the revealed things. Okay, we're going. And all, listen to this now. All who do these things are an abomination to God. Now look at the first up here. In verse 9 it says, when you come in the land with the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now these are abominable acts. Divination, sorcery, the occult, abortion, so forth. But he goes on down and says, the folks who do them become an abomination. Okay. And because of this, God will drive them out of the land. He shall be blameless. And then if you read on, you see, down here at verse 15, it says, the Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from the midst of your brethren, and him you shall hear. Now, the Mohammedans will tell you, the Islamists will tell you, the Muslim will tell you that is Mohammed. Stephen and Peter in Acts say it's the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is the Lord Jesus Christ, you want knowledge, ask Jesus to have the Father send the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you a comforter, the Holy Ghost, that goes out from him. You can ask the Father. Yes, Jesus. Have the Father send the Holy Ghost. Remember, the Father sends the Holy Ghost. Nowhere in the Bible do I see an instruction to pray to the Holy Ghost. You know of any verse? Nowhere in the Bible do I see an instruction to praise the Holy Ghost. Nowhere in the Bible do I see instructions for you to say, come here, Holy Ghost. Now, you hear preachers do that all the time. But I think they're violating heavenly protocol. I had one say, well, it doesn't say not to. He said, I prayed and God told me last night that the Bible didn't say not to. I said, I don't think you were listening to the right spirit, brother. And if I had spit in his face, I don't think I could have made him any madder. But he wonders why there are no supernatural manifestations in his church.
May I interject one thing?
Sure.
That word prophet is capitalized. So in order to deal with the Muhammad issue, where you find the word prophet not capitalized is human. Anytime you find any word that is capitalized is always divinity.
That is a quote.
Jesus is God that came in the flesh, all God, all man, and it can only be Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you, Lord God. Bless it, Lord. We stand together right now, Lord, and we ask, Lord, we bind up the iron yoke of Islam over the Middle East, Lord. We bind up that iron yoke of Islam, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to reach down and touch those that are lost in Islam, Lord, which they say means peace but means submission. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, just to touch them and break them loose, Lord. We ask for Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to come to the Middle East. Come, Lord Jesus, into the hearts of men so there will be peace, Lord, your peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We ask, Lord, for spirit of salvation to come forth, of repentance and conviction, Lord, and for salvation, supplication. You said that you would send the spirits of salvation, supplication, and grace into Jerusalem, Lord. We ask you to send it in, Lord, and bring salvation, Lord, to those poor people, Lord, that are being... And in the carnage, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, only you, Lord, can touch the hearts of men. We bind up the blood feuds of, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, of the anger and the rage and the revenge in the name of Jesus. And we peace, your peace, Lord. And we bind up all these spirits of religion, Lord. God, save us from religion. Oh, God. Okay. In the occult was revived in England about, a lot of other scriptures, but we better move on. The occult was revived in England about 150 years ago as a spiritualist church. And 60, 70 years ago it came to this country. And it exploded in the last 30 years. Spiritualism, Christian Science, hypnosis, New Age, mind control, yoga, transcendental meditation, and so forth. One of the things that yoga and mind control and transcendental meditation and hypnosis and the New Age require is a passive mind.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.